Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church. If you were going to create a world full of chaos, how would you do it? Today we're completing Dr. Rocky Ramsey's series called Upside Down, Making Sense of the Chaos in the World. Satan is the agent of chaos, but what steps does he take to accomplish his mission? Let's continue.
2 weeks ago, I explained how we're living in an upside-down world, one that was foreseen by George Orwell back in 1949, and he put it down in a book called 1984. Orwell wrote that those in power would facilitate turning everything upside down. What had been right was then wrong, and what had been wrong was now right. History would be erased and rewritten. Statues would be toppled. He talked about that in 1949. What people thought was real no longer was. What they thought could never possibly happen had happened. Those in power gaslighted citizens, causing them to question reality and their own sanity. Now, that's the kind of world we're living in today. What wasn't is, and what was is no more. A person can now be any gender he chooses to be. He can be any species he chooses to be. For some reason, people prefer cats. I guess that's because cats don't have owners, they have staff. That's another story. Achievers are now villains and oppressors, and those who haven't achieved or don't achieve are now victims and oppressed. People who earn money aren't entitled to all they earn, and people who don't earn money are entitled to what they don't earn. Americans who have benefited from the prosperity of our nation now despise it. I've said this all 3 weeks. Anything done to anybody at any time in the past justifies anything anybody wants to do to anybody in the present. Rob a store, attack a stranger, burn a building, it's okay because somebody you identify with sometime got hurt. Over the past several years, lawbreakers have been celebrated and people in law enforcement have been criticized, even some wrongly convicted in prison. We'll give you a grand example of that today. Terrorist barbarians are esteemed and cheered on in our major cities and on our college campuses. Those who attempt to stop them are made out to be the bad guys. The Jews have videos of all the stuff, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you show a person anymore. They can see it, they can hear it, they can touch it, they don't believe it. It's unbelievable. It has to be satanic. I mean, I don't know how you can explain it any other way. As it says in Isaiah 5:20, verse 24, we have called evil good and good evil. We've substituted darkness for light and light for darkness. Our prosperous cultures have been poisoned by those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. I talked about that a lot in the first message. Politicians have justified the wicked for a bribe. They have justified the wicked in order to obtain power or keep the power they have. They've also taken away the rights of the ones who are in the right. This is blatantly obvious in the recently released documentary called The Fall of Minneapolis. Our root, Isaiah says, has therefore become like rot because we've rejected the law of the Lord and despised his word. So we've learned that God is a God who brings order out of chaos. Satan brings chaos out of order, turns it into chaos. He takes order, turns it into chaos. I explained how the devil uses people who may have no idea they're being used. He did this with Peter in Matthew 16. He did it with the Jewish religious leaders as they crucified their Messiah they'd been waiting for hundreds of years. But they had no idea. They thought they were serving God, and they were serving Satan when they did that. So that's the kind of world we're living in. So we now have people who think they're going to save our world, save our country, and they're the very people, if their ideas are followed and carried out, who will destroy our country and destroy our world. In particular, in our day, the devil uses people that Thomas Sowell calls intellectuals, intelligentsia, the elite, and the anointed. This group of people includes politicians, journalists, academics, and people in entertainment business. Their enforcers include the Justice Department, the FBI, liberal judges, major corporations, university, and professional sports. Conform or you'll be harassed, intimidated, silenced, canceled, fired, expelled, or indicted. What we never would have imagined has become the new norm. And let me just throw this in here. Where do these people get all this money? We give it to them. So a president who is for about five major things that the church is against is going to Los Angeles. And he'll be meeting with Steven Spielberg and a whole bunch of others who are going to give him millions of dollars. And then we're going to go watch his movies. We're paying, we're financing the destruction of our own kids in our own country. You got that? When are we going to do something, guys? Last week, I discussed six ways that the enemy uses to cause chaos. They're in your outline. I won't cover those six, but here they are. Number one, they destroy logic and common sense. Number two, they ignore history. Number three, they rewrite history. Number four, they deny human nature. Number five, they upend morality. And number six, they legitimize lies. Now this morning, I'm going to cover six more ways that Satan has created chaos in our world using these people who think they're the intellectual anointed who will save us. Now somebody might be thinking, well, I wish he'd quit preaching on this kind of stuff and just preach the Bible. If you read your Bible and you read the prophets, you'll understand that God spoke to the prophets, or to the prophets and through the prophets to the nation and to the nations around them. And he spoke to them about the world that affected the nation. So what I'm doing is entirely biblical. It wouldn't be very biblical if I wasn't doing it. This world is God's world. We're to pray for his will to be done here. But clearly his will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. In some so-called churches, people go there to escape reality. They think that ignoring reality will make it go away. This is exactly what the world did as Hitler built his war machine. Our church is a place where you come to learn the truth about reality and how to face it. Businessman and writer Max Dupree is credited with this saying, "The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality." In these messages, I'm defining the new reality in the world you live in. So here are six more ways that the enemy uses elites to create chaos. To create chaos in this world, number seven, justify violence. Justify violence. The lie that Hitler told is the same lie being believed today about what's happening today in Israel. The Hamas barbarians raped women and children in front of their husbands and parents. They murdered over 1,200 innocent people and took hundreds of others captive. In one instance, they cut a pregnant woman's belly open, pulled the baby out, beheaded it, and then beheaded the woman. They've used hospitals and innocent Palestinians as their human shields. And so that if Israel would strike there, Israel would be the bad guy. Look, they're bombing hospitals. The Israelis are the bad guys. They're doing this. They're doing that. The Israelis have wisely videoed all this stuff, so you can go see it with your eyeballs if you need to see it. Today's news is that Israel has discovered 800 secret Hamas tunnels under the Gaza Strip. Here's the idea. I'll hit you, then you'll hit me back, and then you'll be the one who's wrong because you hit me. It doesn't matter that you would not have hit me had I not hit you. It only matters that you hit me back. You're just as guilty as me. It's what an abuser does. An abuser, typically man to woman, sometimes woman to man, abuses the spouse over and over and over and over, and eventually they snap and fight back. And then they go into counseling, and the abuser says, "I'm the one who's abused in this relationship," when none of that would have happened without all that abuse. The Jews would not be in Gaza today. They'd not be bombing it had they not struck. Had they not been struck by the Hamas. If you go read the Jewish history, since the Jews had been back in the promised land, which was given to them by the UN, and England had a big part in that, in 1947, they had never started a war. They've ended all of them. They've won them all. They've never started one. They're always reacting to something done to them. And yet we got these snowflake college students parading around like the Israelis are the barbarians. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Hamas have not done what they have done because they love Palestinians. They have done what they've done because they hate Israel. They are officially, publicly, unashamedly dedicated to the annihilation of Israel. They don't want peace. From the river to the sea, they want all the Jews dead, all the Jews gone. That's what they want. And they won't rest till they get it. And the only way you stop a guy with a gun is have a gun. Only way you stop somebody who wants to aggress is to aggress. The elite, including the mayor of Minneapolis, justified the riots and looting done during the BLM riots. They were referred to by the secular media as peaceful demonstrations, and they were justified because of decades of supposed systemic oppression. To read Thomas Sowell, who is a black intellectual, he just destroys all this with history. When I meet somebody and they start to end me, I say, have you read Thomas Sowell? They said, no. I said, well, don't have another opinion till you do. Because everything you think is based on ignorance. It's based on what somebody said that may or may not be true. He can give you study and fact and history and everything else. You ought to know what you're talking about if you're going to have a strong opinion. Blacks in America who lived before the civil rights laws and the welfare state were financially more disadvantaged, faced far more actual discrimination than people now, but they never did those things. By the way, Sewell was one of those, grew up in Harlem in the 50s with another woman because his mother couldn't raise him. And that woman eventually threw him out and he was living on the streets as a teenager. He's got quite the story, to say the least. Their families were intact. They were being taught that they were not being taught that they were victims who should hate their country and hate anybody who's doing better than them. It's a different world. Today, if you perceive that there's any injustice, even if it was done in the past, even if it wasn't done to you, then anything you do now in your mind rectifies that wrong. To rectify that wrong is justified. So those who set buildings on fire, loot stores, shoot and kill cops are considered to be moral crusaders to be admired, not criminals to be abhorred. Now I'm telling you, that's an upside down world. That's calling evil good and good evil. Look at these verses, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Proverbs 10 verses 6 and 11 both say, the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. To create chaos, justify violence. Number 8. The second thing you can do to create chaos is rescind responsibility. Rescind responsibility. Today, people blame those who've done nothing wrong for something someone they don't even know did over 100 years ago. And the people who've not even been wrong act as if they've been wrong by wrongs done to people they don't even know who lived over 100 years ago, maybe hundreds of years ago. We have a Japanese lady in our church. Is she to blame for Pearl Harbor? Are we to blame? Am I to blame for Hiroshima? Well, of course not. That's not just wrong thinking. That's stupid. I know you're not supposed to say stupid for your kids, but sometimes it's the appropriate word. That's just stupid. If I blamed you for something you didn't do, wouldn't that be stupid? We've had a girl, they've moved away now, but she's from Germany. May have some others here that I don't know about. Is she to blame for the Holocaust? Well, of course not. We've got some Hispanic people in our church. Are they to blame for the Alamo? Did they kill Davy Crockett? No. I mean, that's just stupid. But the world's full of it today. Remember, the first thing, destroy logic and common sense. Once you've done away with that, anything can go. In a rational world, people are only guilty for the sins they themselves commit. In our world today, people are seen to be guilty for sins someone they don't even know might have committed. And people have been sinned against or deemed to deserve some kind of compensation for sins that had never been committed against them. Look at these verses about responsibility. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul who sins will die. Not the great, 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 great grandchild. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We're responsible for our behavior. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone's not willing to work, then he's not to eat. We're responsible to take care of ourselves. It's not the church's job, not the government's job. It's our job. It's your job to take care of you. 1 Timothy 5:8 goes further. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's a pretty big rebuke for somebody not taking responsibility. I am the person who has to do this. I am responsible, not somebody else. We're responsible for what we do, not for what others do or have done. It's chaos when people get blamed for what they never did and people think that they should be compensated what was never done for them. So if you want to create chaos, rescind responsibility. Number nine is open borders. Open borders. In Romans 13:3-10, it tells us there the job of the government is to protect its citizens. We'll look at those verses in a moment. Those in power do this with armies, with laws, and with borders. People continue to pour into our country through our porous southern border. The government verifies that 3.8 million people have entered our country since Joe Biden became president. We have no idea how many others have entered illegally. Governors have shipped them to northern sanctuary cities that now have become even greater messes than they were. The citizens there are now footing the bills while the crime rates soar. Did you read this recently? A 94-year-old Korean War Army veteran, Frank Tamaro, has lived in a nursing home for 5 years. He just got kicked out and a migrant got his bed. Somebody's not even supposed to be in the country got his bed. Chaos. Should people be able to enter our country? Absolutely. We have laws for that and how it's supposed to take place. We just don't have a president who enforces the law. You do understand the executive branch is supposed to be the enforcer of the law. And if there are laws that govern the border and the president doesn't enforce those laws, is he not the one breaking the law? The answer is yes. Yes. But doesn't matter in a world upside down. It matters a lot in a world right side up. Doesn't matter in a world where logic and common sense makes no sense. It doesn't matter in a world when chaos is preferred, not to be avoided. The present administration is too busy going after January 6th protesters, people who oppose abortion, parents at school board meetings who are mad about their child being sexually assaulted by a transgender in the school restroom, and of course, Donald Trump. This misuse of our justice system creates even more chaos. But see, that's the point. Chaos is the goal. It's not the problem, it's the goal. And isn't it hypocritical that people thousands of miles from the southern border want to be the ones to decide what the states, cities, towns, and people who live there are supposed to do? Wow. With the governors of Texas and Florida shipping these people to these major cities now, they're having to deal with reality. Now, they don't have the mess they have in Texas and Arizona and in parts of California. Not near the mess. But they got a mess now, and they're whining now, aren't they? They're starting to whine about it. What do you think these people have been doing who've been dealing with it for decades? Decades. While their government didn't protect their border. Rather than admitting how terrible our immigration policy has been in these three short years, they're trying to judicially punish these two governors in these two states. Create chaos, open your borders. Number 10, create chaos, practice financial irresponsibility. Practice financial irresponsibility. Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower becomes a lender slave. Dave Ramsey has made tens of millions of dollars. I'm probably low on that verse. No, he's not kin to me, okay? My first name actually is David, so when people see my real name, are you the one? I said, no, I'm the poor David Ramsey. I'm not the rich David Ramsey. I remember it, in the early 90s going through a bank drive-thru, and there in the window was a sticker. They have them now today, I guess still too. Your deposits, at that time I think it was $100,000, I think it's $250,000 now. Your deposits are insured up to $100,000 are insured by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. That's supposed to make me feel good. But what I thought was, which happens to be $3-something trillion in debt. What's the irony in that? Now let's fast forward to today, when the national debt is just under $34 trillion. $34 trillion. The interest payment on the national debt is greater than our military budget. But our national leaders in both parties keep spending money like we're $50 trillion in the black. Am I in the right room? Politicians have been talking about Social Security running out of money since the 80s at least, maybe before that. Social Security is not an entitlement. It's a debt owed by the government to people from whom they've taken money, with whom they have a contract to return it. But every president, every Congress, both parties have ignored the problem for decades. Ignoring reality doesn't make it go away. Our federal government sends trillions of dollars to other countries while it fails to take care of our problems here. We continue to let millions of people cross our border who get added to the already 37 million people who are living in poverty in America. Just about everybody in Washington should be voted out. Just about everybody in Washington should be voted out. They've all miserably failed. Miserably. The financial crisis creates chaos. And chaos is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. We saw that in COVID. Chaos presents the opportunity to grab more power and restrict more freedoms. Create chaos, you can do anything. Tell people they're going to die or they're not going to have anything to eat, they'll give up every freedom they got. Am I in the right room? And yes, you have been had. Look at Proverbs 21:20. There is precious treasured oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man swallows it up. The foolish spend all that they have, or with credit, they spend more than they have. That's what our country does. They eventually end up in trouble. The wise spend less than they have so that they'll have what they need in the future when and if they need it. National politicians in both parties spend money like there's never going to be a day of reckoning. But there's going to be. There has to be. The author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, who predicted the 2008 mess that took place, if you're in business, you know what that is. He says it's coming soon. He said every country that starts to print money without something to back it up goes under. And boy, we printed up, we're near $34 trillion of printing. Wow. Financial responsibility creates chaos. Create chaos, number 11, pass permissive laws. Pass permissive laws. Here's that Romans 13:3-4. Pay close attention to what it says. This is the Bible. This is God's will. Rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword, underline that word sword, for nothing. It's a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, here's the deal. When criminals don't live in fear of the government, citizens live in fear of the criminals. As parents, we were never afraid of what our girls might do. So many parents are, oh, they might. Our girls were afraid of what we might do. In a world right side up, the government's not afraid of what the criminals might do. The criminals are afraid of what they might do. But we're not in a world right side up. We're in a world upside down. Criminals should live in fear of the government. And the government should bring vengeance upon them, wrath. Notice that they bear a sword. A whip corrects wrong. A sword eliminates wrongdoers. You don't spank with a sword. It eliminates wrongdoers. Soft laws and impotent consequences to breaking those laws embolden lawbreakers. In the state of California today, you can walk in any store, take up to $950 of stuff that you want, and walk out. And they won't stop you. They can't stop you. Now, you can try to get charges against them, but they won't, probably they'll never go to court, and you'll never go to jail for doing it. It's basically legal to steal up to $950 in any store you want to go in. So what do you have, especially in San Francisco? You got all these big, great stores who've been there for decades closing and leaving. Our church is full of people in California who's fled that state because of all this stuff. It's unbelievable. The Bible clearly supports capital punishment. Some think capital punishment doesn't deter crime. It does deter crime because it eliminates criminals. When people commit violent and serious crimes, they get eliminated. They can't do it again. How often, it's happened a few times, how often does something really bad happen and the person they catch who did it doesn't have a record a mile long? Then what do they do? They just put him back on the street, he breaks law again. They put him back on the street, he breaks law again. Put him back on the street, he breaks law again. Put him back on the street, he breaks law again. And eventually kills somebody or does something worse. At that point, I don't think they ought to be convicting him. I think they ought to be convicting the DA and the judges who hadn't done something about him. It's their job to do something about that. And what they're doing about is nothing. It goes back to the elites, because the elites think this: if you're nice to bad people, they'll all turn good. Don't try this at home, okay? Don't try this at home. It's not that difficult to deter crime and criminals, but you just have to have the will to do it. The riots and looting could all be stopped, but that would require force that our elected officials don't have the stomach for. In Minneapolis, the police were told to sit there and watch. So they're sitting outside a store while people bash the windows in, go rob it blind. Oh, they need food. No, it's an Apple store. It's a shoe store. Not hungry people need food. They rob it blind, and all the policeman can do is report it back to headquarters. Oh, they just set the building on fire. Well, you just sit there and do nothing and tell us what's going on. That's exactly what they were ordered to do. Upside down world. Wow. You think those criminals were afraid of those cops? You think they're afraid of cops when they're jumping on cars and throwing rocks at cars and all that kind of stuff? No. They know that law enforcement in major cities is a joke. They got a get out of jail free card. And so they're not afraid of the police. So the people there have to live in fear of them. They were told to do nothing. I felt so sorry. I'll never forget this moment. There's some moments you'll never forget. And I was watching that rioting, and they were setting these places on fire, and out came this black lady, and she was begging them not to burn her building. She's got this little small business. It's all she's got. She's begging them. She's crying, and they burned it down anyway. I thought her black life didn't matter, did it? They could have cared less about her black life. Wow, I'll never forget that as long as I live. Permissive laws embolden criminals. They create chaos. Here's the last one. To create chaos, circumvent justice. Circumvent justice. In today's America, we don't crush criminals and mobs and rioters. We let them get away with their crime. Instead, our government now crushes dissenters. That's who we crush. Scientists and doctors who don't follow the COVID and climate change mob are silenced, fired, and at best, ignored. The FBI goes after conservative parents at school board meetings and intimidates and demonstrates its power in arresting an abortion opponent during the night in front of his family with a SWAT team. Now think about that. This is a guy they could have called and said, we need you to come to the police station tomorrow morning at 9. He would have been there. But no, they take a SWAT team in the middle of the night and they had guns, all these guns showing, men in all that armor, and their family sees it and we see it and hear about it. And that's the whole point. If you go against those who are in the establishment, if you go against Big Brother, Orwell would call them, we'll crush you. You'd better not. You'd better not. Another example is a relentless legal pursuit of people who entered the Capitol building on January 6th. Most obviously, the pursuit of, to politically assassinate Donald Trump. Okay? Now, say, Rocky, what do you think of Donald Trump? I think he was a great president. I think he's a horrible person. He's a bully. He's mean-spirited. He's a bully. They did a great job as a president. Alan Dershowitz, do you know that name? If you watch Fox News, he's on there once in a while. He's an attorney. He helped represent Nelson Mandela. I think he might have been on the O.J. Simpson team. He's arguably the most notable attorney in the whole country. Alan Dershowitz. You'll hear his name. You can go look him up. Alan Dershowitz voted against Donald Trump. He wants Donald Trump to be able to run again because he wants to vote against him again. Okay, you understand the scenario? And yet he says that every legal thing they're throwing at him is bogus and politically motivated. Every single one of them. And this is a guy who hates Donald Trump. But he's not upside down. He's not lost common sense. So he said, I want him to be on the ticket. I want to be able to vote against him. Circumvent justice. I hope you've watched the video entitled The Fall of Minneapolis. If you haven't, you just have to. I don't know how any it ought to be required of every American to watch this video. It frankly should be. The four cops who are now in prison for the death of George Floyd did not cause his death. In America, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. They were guilty the day that video was shown on the internet. They didn't even get up to near the trial. So here's what some of what you'll learn. And the fall of Minneapolis is based upon facts about the case that were deliberately kept from the public, things you didn't know about till now, and they were kept from the jury. So the jury couldn't give him a fair trial because they didn't have all the facts, because the judge gets to decide what facts you get. Now, this is just another little wrinkle. The judge who is prosecuting the case or handling the case is a former prosecutor who used to prosecute cops. Isn't that convenient? See, any other in a right side up world, he couldn't have been the judge in that case because of his history. So this is not based on hearsay, it's based on facts. You'll see video footage, you'll talk to the people that were there, you'll see things you've never seen, you'll learn the truth. All they cared about in this trial was appeasing the mob. Here's some of what you'll learn. From the video, police video cams and the testimony of those connected to the case, George Floyd did everything he could to evade arrest. He tried one gimmick after another after another. You can listen to every one of them on that video. He doesn't want to go back to jail. He eventually, one of the policemen gets him out of the car. I don't know if you probably never saw this. When the cop who got him out of the car, one of the first two cops, the cop came up to George Floyd's shoulder. George Floyd was a huge man and he was full of drugs. Any cop knows that's a bad combination. That's a real bad combination. He was on meth, Oxycontin, and three times the lethal amount of fentanyl. But the toxicology report was not permitted as evidence. So the jury had no idea he had all those drugs in him. Way enough to kill somebody. On the video cop's cam show, when they're getting him out of the car, his mouth is full of pills. So he's stuffing them in to destroy the evidence. There's two people in the car with him. A girl's in the back seat, and she says, George, just do what they say. Quit resisting. Just do what they say. And of course, he didn't. The rest is history. His complaint about not being able to breathe started before he got out of the car. It had nothing to do with Chauvin. One of the passengers had said, told him to quit resisting. He didn't. The attorney who represented Floyd's family, this is all on video, said that George Floyd was a man in good health. That's a lie. His medical history shows he was a man in terrible health. That would complicate all this with the drugs. Medical records prove that to be a lie. The medical examiner's report, if you remember this, stated that George Floyd did not die by asphyxiation. He was not smothered by the knee of the policeman. He was not. But before, just in a couple of days, the FBI is involved. And the medical examiner starts to wobble. Well, maybe that knee could have had an effect on it a little bit. Before the FBI showed up, had no effect on it. The drugs did. These four cops, especially Chauvin, were going down for the murder of George Floyd. It's already decided. Did you know this? This blew my mind. I didn't know this. The city of Minneapolis paid George Floyd's family $27 million. Are you ready for the next line? Before the jury was selected. Did you hear me? He's not even tried, much less guilty yet. If George Floyd's worth $27 million, you're looking at a couple of billion here, okay? I think I need some cop to shoot me so my family can get rich. What person's worth $27 million? Was that what he was earning? Yeah. Derek Chauvin restrained George Floyd exactly how he was trained to do. It's called the maximum restraint technique, MRT. The police department trained their cops to do this every 2 years. Chauvin's mother has two hard copies of the manuals, and it describes in words how to do it, and it shows in pictures how to do it. Under oath, in the trial, the chief of police and the police trainer both said they never taught that method. Now, that's a crime. Lying under oath. That's who ought to be in prison. But they're not. You ought to hear cop after cop weeping. They quit over all this. They're just weeping. We were all taught to do that. How could they get up there and say that? They just lied. Remember one of the things I said in the last message was they legitimize lies. I think it's point six. They legitimize lies. They just lie. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is those four cops are going down. That's all that matters. The viral video that everybody in the world saw within the hour seemed to show Chauvin's knee on Floyd's neck and thus causing him not to breathe, suffocating him. Well, the police cams from another angle shows that his knee was clearly not on his neck. It was on his shoulder blade exactly where it was supposed to be. That's exactly how they train. When you got a guy that you can't restrain him either other way, you get him down on the ground and you get his knee on his shoulder blade. And Chauvin did it exactly how he was trained to do it. wasn't on his neck. Floyd didn't suffocate, likely died of all the drugs he'd ingested. But the cops had already been publicly condemned by the mayor, the governor, the president, and politicians, and by most of the public who saw that video. There was no way those four cops were going to get a fair trial in Minneapolis. But they refused to move it to a neutral city. I mean, that's a crime. You're supposed to get a fair trial. There's no way they're getting a fair trial in Minneapolis. Everybody knows that. The people who wouldn't move it know that. That's the point. You said, this is chaos. That's the point. That's the goal. And all of a sudden, you don't know what's real and what's not real. You're questioning everything you've believed and not sure what to believe. You're getting gaslighted. The jurors had to be escorted through the mobs every day. Just imagine that. You're walking through these mobs every day to go in there and sit on that jury. And you're going to come back with a not guilty verdict? You think you'd be alive in a week? You think your house wouldn't be burned down in a day? Fair trial. Fair trial. So they had to know that. And they also knew the cops wouldn't protect anybody or anything. They sure wouldn't protect them if they should come to a not guilty verdict, would they? All four cops were convicted. Chauvin got 20-something years. I think the two of them got like maybe two or three. And then one cop got extra time because he would not admit they did anything wrong. Because what Chauvin did was exactly what they're trained to do, and he wasn't going to lie about it. Listen closely. I'm going to say this twice. Dershowitz said this. It's not uncommon for people to confess to doing what they didn't do in order to get less time in jail when they're told that they have no chance of winning their case. So if you don't admit you're guilty, you're getting 5 years. If you'll say you're guilty, you'll get three. But I'm not guilty. Then you'll get 5 years. Well, I don't want 5 years. I'd a lot rather have 3 years. Well, then say you're guilty. That's a bad system. That's a real bad system. Know how that ever started. But that's what you have. So the other two guys admitted, they said they did something wrong, even though they knew they didn't. Why? Because they didn't want the extra year or two in jail. What would you do? Chauvin, interestingly, was finally interviewed, and he said this. This is really remarkable. He said, I'm glad it was me and not one of the other cops that they brought this all down on. Wow. I'm glad I'm the one with this long sentence, not one of the other three guys. Doesn't sound like such a bad guy, does he? We used to be a country run by laws. We're now a country run by angry mobs. They can be run by angry mobs. Those who broke the laws in the past feared the government. Now the government fears those who break the laws, especially if they mob up. Since we no longer have the stomach to use the necessary force to uphold the law, the police of Minneapolis just sit back and watch people destroy their city. If you watch that, you'll see they gave up a police precinct. They abandoned it. The mob set it on fire, went in, destroyed it while the policemen ran for their life. They weren't allowed to shoot back or defend themselves. And so they're running for their life as people are throwing rocks and all kinds of things at them. And you think they want to be a cop in Minneapolis? Wow. I'm just going to be honest, okay? I'm old. I can be honest. If you don't like it, I don't care, okay? I think a cop ought to be able to say, stop or I'll shoot. One, two, bang. Told you. Why should a cop have to go do hand-to-hand combat with somebody twice his size drugged up? But you know what? We got people in America just like the mayors and governors of these northern states who want to tell the people in the border that actually have to deal with it how to do it. So if you've never been face to face with somebody who might kill you, don't have an opinion on what a cop did. You say, well, he handled him a little rough or he did a little whatever else. Well, you wait till you're in that situation, you might die, and then you pass judgment. But don't be sitting up in New York telling them what to do down on the border state of Arizona with a guy I met with one time and told me what a disaster it was. So the outcome of those trials was determined before it even began. They were guilty. There was no chance of them being proven innocent. None. Had they been, the judge, the jury, and the city would have been at risk. Agreed? So they threw some cops under the bus for, quote, the greater good. And then I assume you saw the United States Supreme Court chose not to consider Chauvin's appeal. How many of you saw that? Some of you need to get your head out of sand. I wonder if the justices or any of their aides saw that video. There's a good chance they didn't want to. There's a good chance they did, and it determined what they did. I wonder if it mattered. Here's what I don't wonder about. If Chauvin got justice, cities would burn because those who were supposed to protect him wouldn't. If the sentence was overturned, those justices, their homes, and their families would need 24/7 protection. And they probably wouldn't get it because Judge Kavanaugh didn't get it earlier. If you want to throw up, now would be a good time. Sick, sad. Saving themselves and their families, listen closely. Saving themselves and their families and our cities might look good on paper, but bowing down to mobs instead of upholding justice fundamentally changes who America has been. I really can understand the justices not wanting to touch it. I really can. Because I live in fear now about what I've been saying. Last week, Betsy looked out there, it's dark, and our house is about 60 yards from the road. And she looked out there by our mailbox, there was a car sitting there. Kind of, I think the headlights might have been off, but the drop running lights were on, sitting there by our mailbox. Sat there about 10 minutes or so. And finally, she brought it to my attention. So I went in there, started watching. I waited another 10 minutes, don't know how long it was. And so I'm thinking, okay, it's begun. So I go in the bedroom, get a pistol, get in my car, drive down. Time to find out what this is. When I got down there, they pulled on up, and I realized the road was blocked up just ahead where I couldn't see it. Okay? So I'm not going to jail for murder yet. But I understand the fear. I'll say a couple of other things, and you can believe me or not. It's all chaos. Criminals go undeterred in our street. Justice gets circumvented in our courtrooms. We can't even protect the people in our prisons. How easy should it be to protect people in our prisons? But we don't have the will to do that. So Jeffrey Epstein, remember him? The sex pervert that hung with all the Hollywood and money people? Conveniently committed suicide in prison while the jailers made sure there was no evidence otherwise. How convenient. Any other time there had been video, you could have seen what was going on. Any other time they had been checking on him, somebody would have caught him. But just conveniently, nobody was around, no video was working, and he hung himself. Epstein was a sexual pervert who had the ability to bring down a host of powerful people in politics and Hollywood. What I mean by that is he had to go. His death brought a whole lot of relief to a whole lot of people. It was really convenient. Derek Chauvin, do you realize this week he was nearly stabbed to death? Stabbed 21 times in prison. If you can't protect somebody in prison, how are you going to protect them in front of my house? And we can't because we won't. If they'd not been somebody there to immediately help him, he would have died. But he survived. Okay, I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to guess something's going to happen. He's going to get attacked again and killed. He's going to die in prison, because if he dies in prison, he can't be pardoned. And being pardoned would be real inconvenient. So don't expect him to ever get out of there alive. He might. I hope he does, but don't count on it. Now, my goal's not been to depress you. You're saying, but you really have. It's been to inform you. People who don't know the truth are easily manipulated. Some of you already have been. Some of you are having problems with things I'm saying today. You know why? Because you've already been manipulated, because you don't know the truth. You've heard and all this and that. Go get eyewitnesses. Go see the evidence. Go see it with your own eyes. Just look at the anti-Semitism going on now. We now live in a world filled with opposing groups who don't just differ, they hate each other. I don't know if this all just happened out of the aftermath of COVID, but now there's not two different opinions. There's two sides who hate each other, who want to destroy each other. And I'm not just talking about Israel Hamas. I'm talking about Democrats, Republicans. I'm talking about anybody else you want to put in two sides of something. Pray for our country and our world. These are perilous times. Share the fall of Minneapolis video with others. Everybody you know, you need to ask if you've seen it. So you got to see this. If you're an American, you've got to see this. You have to tell them what to think about it. It'll blow their mind. Ignoring reality doesn't make it go away. Know what the truth is. Have the courage to tell the truth if you're in a group of people who are believing the lies. I will say that again. Have the courage to tell the truth. Because some of you have already been in those situations, and the lies of stuff that you know isn't the whole truth are getting told. But you don't want to speak up. Have some courage. God told Joshua, be courageous. By all means, vote. Those who lead us shape the world we live in. Now, here's the deal. You're likely not to get to vote for the person you want to vote for. I will not be. I told one guy, I said, well, what you got to do is you got to figure out which one's the worst one and then hold your nose and go pull the lever on the other one. That's how most of it's going to be. 4, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I would have voted for Ben Carson. He'd probably gotten devoured. He'd have been phenomenal. He's a phenomenal man, would have been a phenomenal president. But you got to go vote. You can't do nothing. Probably every national election from here on out, that's definitely for the next 15, 20 years, is going to determine the future of our country and our world. Elites wrongly believe that bad people will become good people if you just give them what they want. Oh, if they just had more money, they just had a nicer home, they had this or that, they had a cell phone. No, they wouldn't break the law again. They're wrong. And a lot of good people believe that bad things will go away if they'll just ignore them. They're wrong. If you don't have the guts to do it for yourself, do it for your grandkids. You imagine the world they're going to be in when they're 40 and 50? Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Listen closely, I'm going to say this twice. Good men don't do nothing. They do something. If they do nothing when they should do something, they're not good men. Good men don't do nothing. They do something. If they do nothing when they should do something, they're not good men. There's no such thing as a good coward. Do something. As Hitler built his war machine, Europe did nothing. Most of them were disarming. France in particular, England did somewhat. They knew what Hitler was doing, but they thought if we leave him alone, he'll do nothing. When he started turning, he started turning the Germans against the Jews. I don't know if you know this, he blamed World War I on them. And then he turned, many of his citizens, when he did that, did nothing. He eventually turned the Germans against the world. I close with the words of Martin Niemöller. He was a prominent Protestant minister in Germany who did nothing until it was too late. He eventually wanted to do something, but it was too late. So here's his words. First, they came for the socialists, but I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, but I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
You've just heard the third and final message in Dr. Rocky Ramsey's series, Upside Down. We hope that you now understand how the enemy seeks to create chaos in your life, chaos in all of our lives, and disorder all over the world. If you're new to the area, or maybe you're looking for a new church, we would love to have you as our special guest this Sunday. We have community groups and childcare that starts at 9 a.m., and our worship service starts at 10:15 a.m. So go to CorrytonChurch.com to plan your visit. That's CorryTon Church.com to plan your visit today.